Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining the CSA 3 phone-in meeting hosted by the CSA Board. This meeting will be recorded for those who cannot attend. The Board has been working together for the past 18 months managing and planning the future of our CSA 3. Your CSA 3 Board members in alphabetical order are Chris, Dennis, Harold, Margaret, Mark, Tom, and Trink. The Board members' full names and emails can be found on our website, seascapecsa3.org. The website also contains CSA 3 board minutes, the CSA 3 map, the CSA 3 meeting renovation plan with budget. Tonight's meeting will consist of three parts. Trink will be up first, discussing the meetings and the renovation plans. Harold will be up second, discussing beach issues and the proposed fee increase vote. The last part will be a Q&A. We will be answering live questions from our audience and answering questions that have been emailed. We are ready to start, so Trink, take it away with the meetings.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Great introduction. Everyone, this is Trink Praxel, and I'm happy to talk with you about the renovation plan itself. For those of you that have actually downloaded and read our renovation plan, some of this may be repetitive, but we want to make sure that we cover it for those who haven't. But let's first talk about what a CSA is, because many people have no idea that there is a CSA in Seascape. And CSA stands for County Service Area. And county service areas are formed by counties under the enabling legislation that goes back a number of years that is a state law that allows for them. And they're really a very, very local form of government. They allow neighborhoods to come together and decide that they need some extra service that perhaps isn't covered by the county in other parts of that county. So they either want a new road that is not being provided by the county, or they want extra security or other kinds of services. And they can decide, that those group of neighbors can decide together to tax themselves and to manage those services themselves. So it's a great opportunity. Our CSA, the history of our CSA, goes all the way back to when Seascape was formed, back around 1965. So it was part of the initial development of our community, and it was formed by the board back in that time, and it was specifically at that time established for, as it was called, parkway, street utility, and drainage facilities. Pretty much at that point, it met the medians and some lighting, street lighting at that time. A CSA can only expand its services by going back to the county and asking for special permission, and if necessary, going out to the members in that, the parcel owners in that community to approve it. So that happened a number of times over the years since 1965. In 1970 and 71, Seascape Beach Estates was built, and so the CSA was expanded to include that area and also to include maintenance of the pedestrian walkways and stairways down to the beach, as well as some storm drains. Then it was expanded again in 94 to include security patrol and litter control for that beach below Seascape Beach Estates. Later, I don't have the exact date, but street sweeping was also added at some point. The CSA policies require a representative to the county for each CSA, and the CSA can choose itself to form a board and elect a representative from that board. For many years in our CSA 3, the local nonprofit Seascape Improvement Association actually served as the representative to the CSA. Nonprofit organization was active for many years, but it became less so, some of you might know, but certainly probably 15 years ago became less active, and they no longer had a formal board. One of their members continued to be representative to the county for a number of years until about 2018, and he then chose to resign, and Tom Jorday, who is currently on our board, approached the county, and he was selected to be the representative until a new board could be established. And we established that new board in September of 2019 with the members that are currently on it. We spent a number of the months since September 2019, spent a number of months really kind of reviewing the budgets, learning about the services, and evaluating what our highest priorities were. And it became clear to us that our greatest priority was the medians, and that the medians were really in bad shape and needed renovation. We had other priorities as well, but that was the most immediate. So we have spent really the last year writing the median renovation plan that you see there, reviewing budgets, determining how we could approach this rather large project. We hired a median maintenance contractor early on who could help us with the design and implementation of a renovation plan. That is Jeff Powers of Coastal Landscape, and he is actually one of our neighbors as well, lives in the CSA. So he has helped considerably, and we have developed what many of you, I hope, have read or will read. And here's some of what we found and what we have in the plan. So our medians were really planted more than 40 years ago, and they were planted in some cases with some very large trees that have over the years begun to destroy the curbs around the medians and the streets themselves. Those trees really, we apply for a permit with the county to remove those trees because they are significant trees and require a permit. And the county has, with an arborist, agreed that the damage that they are causing to the streets and in some cases even to utility lines underneath really require their removal. So we first looked at our goals. We wanted to have some specific goals for this renovation plan, and the ones that we developed were the following: that the plant should be drought tolerant, California natives in many cases, but specifically drought tolerant with reduced irrigation, and that it could be a mix of both California natives and plants from other parts of the world that have similar requirements. The plants should be low maintenance, not requiring a significant lot of trimming or pruning throughout the year, that they be fire safe, and in fact our plant selection will be reviewed by the La Selva Fire District's fire marshal before we implement it. We wanted the plants also to be not invasive, so many grasses that along our medians now are in fact invasive and have spread to other nearby gardens and back from the garden back to the median, so we will try to eliminate those. And we want them to include integrated pest management techniques so that there is little use of toxic insecticides or herbicides and only when it's a really last resort, and that we provide some pollinator support to balance that nature and the pest control that comes with that kind of balance. We have in the plan some designs and some specific plant recommendations. Those are still, you know, early, and the specific plants mentioned there are ones that we're currently planning, but input if neighbors nearby would like to see some different plantings, some of that can be done. Our general plan, however, is to have certain trees on Seascape and different trees on Sumter and different trees on Clubhouse, but that the understory has a certain commonality to it that would create a sense of community throughout all of those areas. On Seascape, the primary tree would be the olives. I know many of those olives are not looking great right now, but they are very drought tolerant. The arborists we have consulted have said that they're still really quite healthy. They just need some good pruning, and they would be a really good choice for our primary tree on that street, saving us a considerable amount of money if we chose to replace them. We list in here, and I won't go into it, a series of understory plants that are included on Seascape as well as on the other streets. On Sumner, our primary recommended trees are the Santa Cruz Island Ironwood. It is a fairly good-sized tree, 25 high and 15 wide, but at least it does not have invasive roots. And a Western Redbud tree as well to provide some color. on Clubhouse, which is really just a short section of street, but has a wonderful view down to the ocean. We really wanted to keep the trees to a minimum there and are considering just a couple of fan palms in that area, which would be low-growing, really only up to about 15 feet. Now, in terms of the costs, we include in the plan a renovation budget, which totals $420,000. For any of you that may be following along, that's on page 5. And that includes the plants and the insulation of $300,000. So most of it is plants and installation. But added to that is irrigation renovation at $40,000, which is going to be significant to renovate the irrigation. It's in pretty bad shape. And some additional olive trees, some tree removals, and some contingency. So for a total of $420,000. Let me back up and tell you a little about the irrigation. We have already been in touch with Soquel Creek Water District about a rebate, and we certainly would be eligible for a rebate, and that's included in the numbers that you see in the plan. But the cost of the irrigation system, until we can get in and really find out more of what the problems are there, our numbers on the irrigation system are still somewhat tentative. We have worked with Soquel Creek, though, in terms of estimating water use in future years, and so our budgets for those future years do include those estimates directly from Soquel Creek. Let's see. So clearly, our current we have 1,693 parcels in the CSA. That includes the condos at the resort and all of the individual HOAs and other condos that we have. So 1,693, only 4 of those are businesses and the rest are residential. There are a couple of, I'm not sure, 150 or so non-buildable sites or vacant sites in the CSA, and so in terms of who actually pays, it's really more in the area of $1,450 or a bit up to $1,500 that actually pay. From that, we get currently about $80,000 a year. From that $80,000, however, we must pay to the county both some overhead and direct staffing costs for the work that they provide for the CSA. And we are required to use their purchasing systems. We can't manage those functions on our own. We have to go through them. And those fees really use approximately 25, in some years up to 30% of our budget for those county expenses. It is frustrating to us on the board, and we've heard from many others about that as well. Why can't we get that changed? Unfortunately, that's county policy that they apply to all of the CSAs that they manage, and there are a number of them. We couldn't ask for any different policy to be applied to us than to the other CSAs. So our funding sources have really not kept up with the increases that have happened in our costs over the years. The last increase that happened in our assessment was back in, I've forgotten the date here, 97, I think it was, 96 or 97, and we had one other assessment increase proposed since then, I believe in the early 2000s, and that failed. So we are significantly behind now after going almost 25 years without an assessment increase. And that's why the board felt that once we had this renovation plan, we would need to look to our parcel owners and ask for a fee increase. We have a 4-year implementation plan that we've worked out for this. That's also detailed in the plan itself, working mostly on Seascape Boulevard in the first year, then moving to Clubhouse, and finally to Sumner. I think that's about all I want to cover in my initial presentation. I think that there'll be other questions that we can answer, but I will turn it back to Chris to take it from here. Chris?
Thanks, Trink. All the information Trink was discussing is in our CSA 3 renovation plan that is readily available on our website, seascapecsa3.org. We invite all of you to please go to the website. Please go and review the renovation plan. And if you have any questions, use the email available on the website so we can get back to you and answer your questions. Next up is going to be Harold. He's going to discuss beach issues, and he's going to discuss the fee increase vote, please. Harold, take it away.
Okay, good evening. Anyway, I'm Harold Mancusiangaro. I live via Palo Alto on the north end of Clubhouse. And what Trink mentioned is, as the board, there are seven of us, we were allowed to have two liaisons to have direct contact with the county. And so we've kind of divided it up. Trink has been looking at the medians. And since I live closer to the beach, and frankly, the beach is why I live here, I take care of beach issues and communicating with what used to be First Alert and now is Allied Universal Security in terms of dealing with the beach. Now, a lot of the proposal that is going to funding the renovation of the medians, but at the same time, we have to look at our budget in terms of taking care of the beach and trash control. And that, frankly, those services have had to be scaled way back over the course of the last several years because the amount that we can budget, which is about $25,000 a year, doesn't cover what it used to. The county works on four-year requests for services. And it turns out that we came on board in September of 2019 when we had to start looking at the four-year budget to begin this fiscal year, 2021. One of the things that we looked at was expanding the summer schedule. There's more frequent patrolling of the beach to include May, thinking that that would be wise. Well, one of the things that none of us counted on was what was going to happen with the advent of the pandemic in March. And in April, it was just like summertime. And, a lot of the problems that we saw were simply because we don't have the services to keep up with that kind of demand. And I'd be happy to discuss some of the particulars, but basically what we have now is a plan for taking care of the beach where the summer months are May through September, that trash removal is 5 days a week, Friday through Monday, and then Wednesday. And we can always call them back for particular days. Winter months are 3 days per week, Wednesday, Saturday, and Monday. And then we've added the holidays that occur during those winter months, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Martin Luther King Day, President's Day, and St. Patrick's Day. And again, we can call them back for trash removal. At the same time, what the patrol does is they take care of closing the beach at 10 o'clock at night, making rounds, telling people time to go home. And then they used to come by somewhere between 11 and 1, 3 a.m. to make sure everybody left, and we've had to scale that back to do it on an as-needed basis. And fortunately, two of our members are inside of that beach, and there have been our eyes and ears. Eventually, as this assessment unfolds and we get to renegotiate the contract 3 years from now, I look forward to going back to what it used to be. And I actually went back and I looked at the two contracts ago. And in the summer months, they actually used to patrol 2-liter pickups a day. In the winter months, every day. And there were other multiple patrols. Anyway, in terms of the ballot and the voting, the way it works is you should all have received your ballot by now. The ballots, interestingly enough, don't go to registered voters. They go to those who own the parcel. So if you rent and you don't own the parcel, you don't get to vote. It's the landlord that gets to vote. We hope that of the 1,693 votes that come in, that half of you will vote in favor of this increase. The other side of the coin is if it doesn't pass, services are going to deteriorate further. We're going to have to cut back in terms of beach patrol. And you can't even talk about inflation and cost of living because the fees that are charged are just not in keeping with simple numbers. For instance, if I was looking and thinking about the median issue, we spend and budgeted $1,750 a month to take care of the medians. The medians are 70,000 square feet. That's 2.5 cents a square foot for maintenance. And I looked at my yard. One of the things I do not do is garden. And I think my yard is maybe 300 square feet in terms of what needs to be taken care of. And I spend about 40 cents a month per square foot. So there's a huge difference between 40 cents and 2.5 cents. And frankly, we get what we pay for. So I guess at this point in time, I think we're probably ready to answer questions. Chris?
Thanks, Harold. We're going to start the question and answer section now. I'm going to give you a second to think of your questions. When I switch to the question and answer section, six star, I believe, is what you're going to use to answer a question. We'll try to get through all the questions. I'm going to leave Harold's mic open and Trink's mic open to answer your questions. So let's start questions and answers. And for everybody, it's star six to answer a question, ask a question. Okay, we have our first question right now. Let's get to it.
Hello?
You are on the line.
Hello.
Hi.
A question I have is clearly...
I can't hear you.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Yes, I have a question here about the county maintenance costs. I see that they're looking at your proposed budget here that goes from $17,000 and it just keeps going up till 24-25, it's up to $32,000. So it doesn't really look like we have much control over what the county is charging us for their maintenance fees. And I have concerns it's just going to be a cash cow for the county. But otherwise, everything else you proposed here looks quite good. I appreciate all your efforts.
Well, what I can tell you is that there is a fixed percentage that the county charges per year. And I want to say that when we started, it was like 10%, and then this last year they increased to 13.5%. In addition, every time we have a contact with any person in the county, for instance, if I get the monthly bill from Allied Universal, when I send it into the county, we get charged a fee for them to process that payment and make the payment. And those are they're just additional fees because we have to pay a hourly rate for the county individual who is doing that service in addition to the 13.5%. And we anticipate that percentage is going to continue to go up. And we have absolutely no control over that, as Trink said. The only thing we have control of is we try and limit the number of times we have to contact anyone in the county to do something. So in terms of when we were working on these plans, we did it among ourselves and only went to the county to say, this is what we want to do, and this is our request for a purchase order. Does that help?
Yeah, but I see that our revenue is the same every year, but that the county maintenance fees just keep going up. If it's a certain percent, you know, you say 13.5%. Why do the county costs keep going up?
The more you spend, the more they charge.
Well, because it's a percentage. So the percentage, but he's saying, see, even though our expenses are the same, that percentage of the cost will be the same, but their cost for example, staff time is not based on a percentage. It's based on their actual time. So that cost will continue to go up.
Okay. And so what are we getting for that 13.5%? What kind of service are we getting?
Well, as Harold explained, we all payments, when we want to hire a contractor for a particular service, we need to follow all of the county procedures for that. So we may develop some the request for proposals or the bid document, but it has to go through them for review, and they look at it, they approve it, comes back to us, and when any of these maintenance contracts, the vendor submits their invoice, again, that invoice has to go to them for payment. Any questions that we have, that's staff time. So it's all the support to be able to use, as they say, they're acting as our bank, but they charge us like a bank for fees for that, and not just direct fees, but overhead as well.
Yeah. And the 13.5% is basically a basic charge. It's a baseline charge, and then there are the fees. It's like, for instance, if you ever get a government grant, all right, there is a percentage that gets taken right off the top just for giving you the grant.
Who determines the 13.5%?
The Public Works Department, because they are the department
yes.
we work through. And that's approved. They make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors approves it. It's all part of the county budget. So it is approved by the Board of Supervisors.
So our supervisor, Zach Friend, is he aware of our situation?
Yes, he is. But
yes.
Again, let me just reiterate that is charged by every CSA. We're not the only one who pays that. So there are, I don't know, 50 CSAs managed, somewhere around that number, managed by the county, and they all pay these similar kind of charges.
There's a number of questions ahead of you, please. So we're going to move on.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Thank you very much. Again, if anyone has a question, hit *6, and you'll be in the queue to ask a question. We're going to go to the next question.
Go ahead.
Hello,
can
you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, Bob Brum here on Via Turnisol. Thank you for all your work. There's a lot. I have, not looking at the budget, I have many questions, but I'm going to direct them to two in particular. On the assessment proposal, it says that an affirmative vote for this assessment increase will allow for consumer price index adjustments each year starting in 2022, only to meet approved expenditures. My first question is, presently, can the board vote to apply a consumer price index increase to the tax increase, or is this a change in the assessment application structure?
Harold, do you want to take this?
Well, yeah, it's a change in the sense that the current fee, the $50 per basic parcel, had no provision for any cost of living or, you know, consumer price index. And in putting these new fees in, we made that provision so that if it's necessary, we can apply a consumer price index. It's not at all required. It's not going to happen automatically.
Okay, the next question, Harold, is who determines whether or not it's necessary?
The board.
So what we're saying is that there is a dramatic change in the application of potential assessments, and that the board can unilaterally make a determination that they have approved expenses, and these expenses will necessitate the application of an increase in the assessments up to the consumer price index. So it allows the board to just unilaterally, without homeowners' input, continually increase the assessment as they see fit. Is that correct?
Well, in order to meet expenses.
Well, no. My question is that you've answered the question that if the board decides to have some expenses in their budget and the income does not meet that, they can, without a vote of the owners, apply the consumer price index increase to cover that.
May I add here, which is, note that all first it has to be necessary. They have to be able to show that it is necessary to have a balanced budget. And second of all, it can only be the CPI, which is, you know, not a huge increase. It would be, you know, a couple percent.
But my question is, and you have answered it, is that that allows the board to increase our tax assessment without a vote of the owners up to the consumer price index if they so choose.
Right. And it is true.
Okay.
I think I would speak for the board by saying, though, that with this assessment increase, we would have, you know, we're taking a good jump here, and I don't think any of us are interested in considering that CPI for some time in order to, you know, cover, to avoid another increase for a period of time.
Well, I understand that, and I'm just thinking 5 years down the road when the board may change, because as I understand, this would be a change in the underlying assessment process.
That's correct.
Okay, I have several more, but you got a lot of people. That's all I have for now. Thank you very much.
Okay, email us.
We're going to move to the next question.
Speak.
Go ahead.
Oh, I guess that's me. Okay. So I'm on Dolphin, and all of this is very new to me. So here's my question. I understand, and we had a little bit of a conversation at 5 o'clock when many of us were talking. There were two different times as to when this meeting was supposed to start, so some of us showed up on the call at 5. And there was some discussion about the beach in front of Beer Can, I think, around that area, that was apparently owned by a private individual and then was sold to a coastal commission or some kind of coastal nonprofit. So here's, this might be a dumb question, but here's my question. Why is it that these people that own the land are not responsible for their maintenance and the trash pickup and so forth? And you could probably, I'm sure there's a simple answer, but it just, I would just like to know.
Well, the simple answer is back on May 10th, 1994, the county said we had to take care of it. That's a simple answer.
It's private land. It's not public. It's owned by either a nonprofit or a private individual. They just own the land, but the county maintains it.
And it's the ownership thing is bizarre because it's land that the Coastal Commission cannot be developed. And since it is not land that can be developed, it's not even taxed.
And so, and again,
not my rules.
Remember, the whole purpose of a CSA is to provide services that are not otherwise provided by the county. So if the county can't afford to provide services, you know, they provide very little service at any of the beaches throughout the county, and they just can't afford to keep up with the needs of a very popular beach. And so they would just choose to ignore it, as would any private owner, and that really leaves it up to us as the neighbors of choosing to charge ourselves to maintain it.
And I noticed, by the way, often around the time of holidays, like the 4th of July, that there seems to be almost guns being shot off. It could be firecrackers, but it also sounds like someone's shooting. What about the sheriff? Is the sheriff, aren't they responsible for patrolling this area, or is that part of the security people that we have to hire because they're short staff?
No, our security people simply try and maintain, you know, the beach closure. If you look at the signs on the beach, if you look at the law, liquor is not allowed on the beach, dogs must be on a leash, and there are no fires. And the sheriff's office, for whatever reason, has chosen to look the other way. And all I can do is tell you that during those, 2 weeks that the beach was supposed to be closed for COVID, did you see anybody enforcing it?
No, and it's actually really scary because I live very close to the ocean, and, you know, I hear all this, and, you know, I worry about things like fires. You know, when we had all those fire problems,
I agree with you. And one of the things we can start looking at, particularly with if we can, you know, flex the budget a little bit, is get some patrol during the daytime and get our people to come around even earlier to, you know, I suppose we can get the sheriff perhaps have a discussion with him in the spring about controlling the fires and controlling dogs off leash. I mean, there have been a number of comments in Nextdoor about dogs off leash who have bitten people and other dogs.
Yeah, and this year they said the drought is going to be really bad, so there's going to be a real heightened fire danger. And
yep.
I'm just concerned, you know, especially it's also in the gulch too. I don't know who the heck patrols that. That looks like private property, maybe with the club over there. But there
is.
I hear guns there too, and people are down there.
Why don't you send us an email with some of those concerns? That would be great to have from you.
Okay, excellent. I sure do.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to the next question. Anyone that has a question, I think I might have inadvertently knocked somebody off, so if I did, I apologize 100%. But hit star 6 if you want to get into the queue. We'll be answering all the questions. We have several questions left, but please, if you have a question, star 6. Next question, please.
Go ahead with your question.
Yes, my name is Fred O'Hara. I live on Via Novella. First of all, I want to thank you and all of you, the board members, for the work that you've done and the volunteering. I'm sure it's been a lot of work and takes a lot of your time. It's very much appreciated. I fully agree with the increase of the $250 and have already voted in the affirmative for that. Looking forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's, you know, it's $150. These homes are worth a whole lot of money. I understand the some of the issues on it, but in if you look at the big picture, this is something that has to be done and should be done. There's very little question in my mind, and I hope everybody else will vote in the affirmative as well. Going forward, this is a large project that you've undertaken for us, and I would appreciate some at least quarterly updates on what's going on and what you plan to do for the next quarter and where you're standing as we go along based on and I understand this it will change because something will happen to change things. That's it. So, but more communication.
I can answer that easily for you. We have been meeting at least once a month. Mm-hmm. And we have minutes, and Chris has set up a very good website, and we put the minutes on the website. So all our discussions, changes in the budget, issues that have come up are all in the minutes, and so you're getting a monthly update. Maybe a couple of weeks late as we go over the minutes, but they're on the website.
I appreciate that. I'm a little bit more would like to see those, and I will check those. I have not done that, but if their plan for the next 6 months is to this has to be completed by this time, et cetera, the trees planted or this sort of thing on it, so an update on, this is the plan, this is where we stand on doing it. If we haven't been able to do it, this is why we haven't, or maybe we're going to be ahead of schedule, that sort of stuff. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's an excellent idea, and I would also say that we have been regularly putting out updates to our email list. So if mm-hmm. you are not on our email list, if you haven't been getting updates from us, we'd really encourage everybody to do so because we can't really – it would be difficult to send something to all of the 1,600 parcels. But we certainly are developing a good email list, and we would like to make it broader. So whenever we do have an update, we send it to email, and then we put it on Nextdoor. So get in our email list, and you'll definitely get some updates.
I will do. That's my responsibility, and I'll take care of it. Thank you very much for all the work you've done.
Thanks for your question.
Thank you.
We're going to the next one. We have four questions left. Next question, please.
Go ahead.
Hi, this
Speak.
Is Paula. Hello?
Yes, Paula,
this
go ahead.
Paula and Via Trinita. I just had one question and one comment. First, the comment in looking through the plan, I worried a little bit that some of the trees that could be chosen might be too big. And I know you mentioned that they're the type that didn't make big roots, but it just seems like sometimes in some places they make bigger roots than you think. So that was just my concern that they didn't, damage the curb in the street again, create root problems, and also a visibility problem, for cars going down there or pedestrians or bikes or, that they're kept small enough, which if they start out not being a species that grows very big, it's a lot easier to keep them smaller than if they're going to be like 25 feet or something. There's a lot more pruning costs to keep up with and potential for not good visibility and the root problem. So that was my comment and concern was about the trees. And then my question on the website, you had mentioned something about the street sweeping and how it kind of had gone on and off a few times. If I'm remembering right, and I just wondered what this covers some street sweeping and what's the status of that now?
Well, we did have to cancel the street sweeping because of lack of funds about a year ago. That doesn't mean that there's no street sweeping done in the area. The county will respond to a request for street sweeping. It may take them a while. But, the board has talked about We haven't made a final decision, but we've talked about if this passes, that there could be sufficient funds in here for us to be able to restart the street sweeping. So that certainly is something the board will consider. And I appreciate your comments about the trees, and our landscape designer is actually listening in on this, so he's hearing it too. I feel pretty confident that he knows what the roots will do with his experience and given the consultation that he does with other arborists. But we'll share that concern, and like I said, you know, all of this is a work in progress, so we'll take it under consideration.
And the invisibility thing, too.
And the visibility.
Safety and visibility, too. Right.
Exactly.
And having to keep up with the pruning and all that. And the street sweeping, it seemed like it was like the first Tuesday of the month or something like that. I had read somewhere not related to this, but maybe some county thing. So maybe they do it once a month.
There are a couple of issues with the street sweeping. What the county has decided is that they will do it on an as-needed basis. And okay. If you call them, and there's a number you can get off the website. I forget what it is right now, but you can call them, and they will make an effort to come by. One of the problems with street sweeping is on-street parking. And particularly if you look at some of the streets with all the beach parking, there's no way they're going to be able to street this sweep.
Yeah.
I can't say it. You can't do it in the daytime.
Tongue twister.
Yes. Anyway,
okay.
But
I got you.
There are two things that the county will do that I've learned. One is there is a county app. And, for instance, as I walk my dog, if I see a big pothole, I take a picture of it, send it in, and that picture not only gives them an idea how big that pothole is, but it gives them the GPS of where it is, they will come by and fix it. And I'm sure, same with the street sweeping. I mean, I was kind of waiting for the rains to stop and then give them a call and tell them they need to do something on the Sumner because the debris from those eucalyptus trees is just incredible. Anyway, but
yeah,
you can,
that's
you know.
The worst street, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, so just search for app for county, Santa Cruz County app.
Yeah.
Yeah, just look at their homepage on the Public Works Department homepage.
Public
on the
Works. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for all the information that you've put out and doing all that work. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to move to our next question. We have three questions left. Any final questions, please hit *6 and you'll be in the queue. Next question, please.
Hi.
Go ahead.
This is Marion Krause. We own a condo at Seascape. I have a question about beach access, and does that include the Seascape beach Seascape Resort beach access? And if so,
no.
Does oh okay, all right.
It does.
But what the other question I have is, along with trash removal, what about graffiti? Is that cleaned up as well? Because
it's
particularly
not,
at the resort, we've seen a lot of graffiti along the beach access.
Yeah, we did. So beach access is only the beach access over in the estates, not at the resort.
Okay.
The resort
okay.
handles all of their own access and their own beach cleanup. That doesn't fall into the CSA service responsibility at all. And our service... the things that the Board of Supervisors have approved for us to do as services has not included graffiti cleanup, even over in the estates area.
In other areas.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to thank you as well for all the work that you're doing and for revitalizing this board. At first, when I got your information in the mail, I was like, wait a minute, $50 to $150? You know, it was like a huge increase. But then
yeah.
I did a little research, and I saw that there has been no increase since 1996. So it makes perfect sense to me that, that this is a warranted increase. And thank you for all the work that you've done and for revitalizing the area. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Marion. Mm-hmm. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much. We're going to go to the next question.
Oh, hello. Just moved to Manresa Drive and love the area, and thank you for having the meeting tonight. I agree with, I forgot the gentleman's name, spoke about the reason we moved here was because of the beaches. So I went on the website, I tried to do as much as I could. So you that the stairway off Dolphin, from like across the off Dolphin, is not part of this, your stuff. It's not part of this organization.
You say off
stairway
Dolphin?
Off Dolphin.
Yeah. Tell us where you
Well, you take Dolphin, you cross Sumner, there's a staircase that goes down, and there's a beach there. So it's between, I don't know, Seascape and Bear Cam, wherever that is. But, so that is not
the trestle, the one that goes under the trestle?
Yeah, correct.
I don't know that that's a recognized stairway. Go on, Trey.
There's a stairway there that comes down from the resort, and that is clearly the resort's responsibility. But I think that there's another stairway that is part of the county's responsibility, and it hasn't been put into our service area for us to be responsible for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's more of a pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a pathway.
It's more of a pathway. Yeah, the stairways that we're responsible for is the one off of Via Palo Alto, and then the one off of, I want to say, as you go down, there's another one on Via Palo Alto, then goes down to, I think it's Via Conca, and there's Via Conca on down. Those are our stairways.
Okay, and then where is this beach patrol from? Where is, from Seascape in front of?
If you look at the map, the beach goes from the area from the trestle all the way over to the end of the white wall on Via Gaviota. Because once you get on the pathway that comes down from the park, that's Hidden Beach and that's County Beach.
Okay. Got it.
All right.
So, so it really doesn't cover, where I'm at, but okay. So, I looked at the numbers on the budget, and I agree wholeheartedly. I'd love to have more patrol. I'd love to have more trash pickup, the whole shebang. But, it's like $1,000. I want to vote yes, but I just wish more money was allocated to the beach. So you say maybe it's flexible. Can we get... That's kind of hard to vote on.
Basically, what happens is we have a 4-year contract, okay, and that contract is going to come up for review in 2.5 years, which is as we're getting into the end of the median development. In the meantime, the budget does have in it some contingency fees. So that when we need to, and the folks at Allied Universal have been great about responding. I mean, I have the cell phone number of the guy in charge. And if I call him up, it's taken care of.
Okay.
And we have to pay for it.
Can I add here, too, that if you look at our budget over the next 4 years, our proposed budget, you can see that the beach services line increases from 24,000 currently, actually 25,000 this year, up to 36,000 by 2024-25. So that we've also added in there, we don't discuss it in a lot of detail because this is a median renovation plan, but we have added there some room for some additional services to be able at least to go back and, as Harold said earlier, add back in the things that we had to cut back over the last few years on the beach and reevaluate that. So it is definitely a concern of the board's, and we're looking first at the renovation, but the beach is also a very much concern that we'll be keeping an eye on and have allowed room for some increases there.
There are months that you know we push the budget. I mean, normally the beach services run around $1,800 a month. During April and May last year, I think we were up to $3,000 a month, but we had to keep calling them back to pick up the trash.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. And actually, this is a question add-on.
Typing.
So since the median renovation and maintenance is such a huge percentage of the four-year plan, I'm assuming, did the county do an RFP for those numbers?
For that work, on the renovation work?
Yeah.
The contract that we've entered into with Coastal Landscaping, our current contractor, it actually allows for us to be able to move into the renovation plan from that contract. So we will be looking at that carefully, but we actually hired and selected him and wrote the RFP with the idea of current maintenance plus landscape design plus moving into the renovation work itself.
So there were not any other bidders involved?
There were other bidders involved, but CLI won that contract.
Good. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah, any of these things, you know, have to go out. We need at least three bids for everything we do.
Right. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for your question. We're going to move on to the next question. We have a few more to go.
Hi. We live on Dolphin Drive, and I would like to first of all say I am concerned if the board does not need our approval, because we could be losing control of the board in the future. So that makes me uncomfortable. Concerning the question about the trestle and the steps, the stairway used to be in CSA3, and my husband was on the board when it was. And my concern, Harold, about when you say our beach, I feel like you're talking about your beach, and you really don't know that much about our beach on from the trestle going to the resort, there's beach, and then on the other side of resort, there is beach, and that's not being taken care of. Dogs are running wild, and so I'm concerned that, and I would ask you to research what happened, why the trestle steps are no longer considered in CSA3.
I know that the beach from the trestle down, that somebody used to, they has an old name of Platform Beach. I think that's part of CSA3 if you look at the map.
No, just a second. Okay, see, this concerns me even more. Platform Beach is way down when you go to Sea Cliffs and you go left, and then that's the platform.
Okay.
See, that's my concern, is that you're taking care of your beach and you do not understand our beach.
Well, see, again, everything in front of the resort is the resort's responsibility. And once you go south of the resort, that's county. That's not us at all.
Isn't CSA, I thought the CSA, what are you? What is Via Palo Alto? I mean, maybe we have to go to the county and ask them to ask our CSA to take care of our beach, because they're taking care of Beer Can Beach, which is your beach, but our end of it isn't being taken care of.
Okay, can I make a comment here? I was trying to make it clear that whenever the CSA takes on responsibility for an area, it has to go through a very specific process that goes to the Board of Supervisors for approval, and the result, what results is a very specific documents which we've researched that say, okay, this service area, this service, and for this area is being put into CSA 3. So I think we're pretty clear about, we've done a lot of research over the last year, we're pretty clear about what is in the CSA 3 responsibility area. Our beaches are beaches, and that's all a very personal definition. It kind of depends on where you walk and where you like to be. But Harold is being very clear that the beach in front of the resort is the resort's responsibility. The only portion of the beach that is in the CSA 3 responsibility, and when we say responsibility, it's very specific for just security and just garbage pickup, is in front, as he has described, going out from the railroad trestle, and then north to the end of the seawall. So when we say we're talking about the CSA 3 beach, and that is our CSA 3 beach.
Okay, so I guess that us people on Dolphin and that use Trestle Beach and go south from there, we need to do some research to find out what has happened from Trestle to the resort, who's taking care of that, and if it did used to be in the CSA 3 or if we can get it put in the CSA 3. Because basically what the previous caller and I are saying is that those steps need to be taken care of, that beach needs to be taken care of, and so maybe we have to take that on.
If you go to the website, right, on the website, actually part of the plan, one of the pages down, is the map of CSA 3. And the area that we take care of is shaded in green. And that beach down from the trestle is County Beach. Same with once you get beyond the resort. That's County Beach. It's not part of what we take care of.
Okay, we need to research that then to get help with the steps and with the dogs running wild and whatever.
We're happy to work with you on this. So, you know, contact us directly and we'll be happy to, you know, show you more specifically the areas that are ours and areas that are not. And we can do this more personally rather than on a group call like this.
Right, because we're just asking for our tax money to be used in our area, too.
No, we're not disagreeing with you. It's just...
Well, thank you very much for that question. We're going to move on to the next question.
I hope there's not a lot of people in line. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You're fine. We have two more questions.
I'm back because I wanted other people to get in there. Just a quick question on your proposed budget. I noticed that one of the objectives, and it's a good one, is to build up what I would call a reserve fund for unanticipated expenses. And first question is, does the county or the structure of the CSA financing allow for that? And if so, I notice in the projected budget, there is nothing in there for a reserve. Is that just because we don't know how the numbers are going to work out in the coming years?
Yeah, that's precisely why we wanted to, be conservative about the costs as they go up over 4 or 5 years. It's a hard one to project with a large project like this, but it certainly is the intent to create a reserve. And if we are able to keep the budget in the black, then we'll be putting anything in that black into a reserve. If you go to page 16 of our plan in one of the addendum, that you'll find a financial summary for the last 7 years of the CSA, and you can look back to see that in years 2013, 14, and 15, even beyond that, there was a positive ending balance, and that is the result. Even though there was a negative, there were more expenses. The expenses were higher than the income for those years, so they were in the red for the year, but they still had a balance left at the end of the year because of the reserve.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
We'll move on to the next question then. Please go ahead.
Hi, I think I'm being told I can ask my question now. This again is Ellie.
Please.
I was on the 5 o'clock phone call.
Right.
I first want to publicly thank Trink for her extraordinary patience with all of us who called in at 5 thinking that's when the meeting came, and how generous she was with her time helping us. I have sort of just a general questions left right now at this point in time, or comments. One is, it looks to me like, and I'm not a mathematician, I have to run the numbers again. I'm new to learning about all of this because we were not notified as a board earlier on, that the Seascape properties pay approximately 20% of the funds for this project. So, and I'm hearing other residents concerned about how are they receiving benefit from the overall program. One of the questions that comes to mind is when you talk about 25% of the funds you raise going back to the county for administrative costs, did I get that percentage correct?
It's actually a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's actually even a little bit higher. So my question is, have you looked into other neighborhoods in the county? Do other neighborhoods, like happens where I live, instead of, do you have to go through the county? Can you form a foundation like is done here in many instances with school districts, et cetera, so that you can maintain that 25%, assuming that there would be people who would want to fund these programs who live there and want the place to look the best it can and don't want dogs running wild on the beach or trash accumulating horrifically. It's a huge percentage that you're paying as an basically a county assessment to what you're doing. And then, so there's that issue that I was just wondering if you've ever looked into other options you might have to fund these projects. And also...
Yes, we have. And we have been told basically no. The only latitude that we may have is that when it comes time to doing some plantings, that an individual might be able to pay for a tree or something like that by paying the vendor directly. But the interesting thing is you can't even pay any of the contractors directly, because it affects the way the county is insured. So we really have looked into it. We even thought about trying to have our own bank account, and we can't do that because we're not a recognized nonprofit. I mean, we're just this edict from the county, and so we can't even get a bank account. We have looked into it, believe me.
Let me also add that, again, remember, we are a CSA under California state law and county policy, and it is a very specific structure in a CSA, and it must follow the requirements under those laws and those policies.
No, that part I understand. I just know that, for instance, with funding for school districts in other counties, for an example, they've gone around the rules by forming private foundations.
Well, and we've also explored that. As I mentioned early in my presentation, there was another organization that was created years ago when this neighborhood was developed called the Seascape Improvement Association.
Yeah, I'm very well aware of that also. Yes.
Yeah, and that was a nonprofit. And so, but they were not, they were able to collect donations from people. and they had a very limited budget because they had to rely on donations. The CSA can rely on these assessments that are part. So everybody in the area participates in an assessment, whereas with a nonprofit CSA, it really has to just be those who might want to contribute. It can't be required.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
It's just it's a large charge for a large part of the money that you're collecting that's going to if you had 25% greater budget that would go far for you. That's what I'm saying. And also you know there's you might be able to spread out the benefit from the collection of monies more over the whole district that you're assessing, rather than assessing everyone and having what is perceived by many to be the benefit going narrowly to select mm-hmm. areas.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Harold.
No, I was going to say, but, you know, it covers a whole range of things. I mean, you know, I've been talking about the beaches, but when you look at the medians, I mean, the approach to this neighborhood is the medians, and when they look terrible, it doesn't look. It's an ugly image. So everyone benefits.
I don't disagree. It's just that I've seen it done privately successfully, and so I just wanted to ask if you've looked into that.
Yeah,
well,
as
we've described to you, we've looked into ways around it with the county. We've looked at other possibilities in terms of funding as a nonprofit. So we have looked at those, and we currently feel that the assessment is, despite that 25% going, it's a better way to raise the funds from everybody in the assessment area. If you have any other specific ideas that you think we should consider, we'd be happy to look at them. Just let
okay,
us know.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you very much. We're going to go to our last question.
Hi. I'm a resident of Seascape, and I'm speaking for a number of folks that are in the what I'll call Cypress area of Seascape, where we have the very mature three or four cypresses that provide a tremendous amount of privacy from side to side in the street, and is a big concern for those of us that live in this stretch of the street. We would say that if you walk the curbs, you walk the streets around the cypresses, there's absolutely no evidence of any encroachment on the curbs or the streets. It may be that is coming. We don't know. We're not arborists. But we would say that at this point in time, there isn't any encroachment. We are, in fact, 8 of the medians, of the 17 medians that are in this plan. And at this current point, the cypresses are planned to be torn out in the not-too-distant future, is my understanding. And you'll only plan to plant 4 olive trees and 8 medians up and down Seascape. And I realize there's going to be other plantings and irrigation, I'm hopeful, that are going to make the medians look better than they have. My point of view would be, and those of my neighbors, is that at this point in time, we have no evidence that our board is able to stay focused on maintaining and keeping the medians up, let alone, initially planting them and so forth. But the demonstrated behavior over the last several years has been, as someone just said a minute ago on the board, terrible-looking medians that no one has maintained, and that, we very well may not maintain it again because of the conflicts in interest between Beach and lots of other issues in the neighborhood. The medians are important to us. The privacy of our households from side to side in the street are important to us that live on Seascape. And I am joining for my folks here that say that voting for the increase to improve the medians is a no-brainer as far as we're concerned. We support your enthusiasm to do that, but if that includes taking the cypresses out at this point before we've even demonstrated that we can maintain the medians themselves, then we would be totally opposed to increasing the funding.
Okay, well, thank you for making such a clear case. I have had some email exchanges with a couple of you, and the last one of them I asked if we could have a conversation about this. So I think that's our next step in that particular issue, is to sit down and talk about it. I'm glad to hear that you've read the plan so that you can see the larger purpose here is to create a consistent design throughout. But, you know, the board has talked about your concerns about this, and we'd like to talk to you further about it. I hope you don't hold our new board responsible for the actions of previous boards.
Not
I think
at all.
You can see from this new board that we are really taking a completely different approach. And we have a plan. We've developed it, I think, responsibly. And we have every intention of sticking around long enough to be able to implement it. So let me also say that the director of the Public Works Department actually came out and looked at those medians and found evidence of what will soon be damage, if not very visible yet. But I think we all know.
I actually happened to see him there and actually spent an hour or so with him walking
Great.
The cypresses today.
Great.
And that was several months ago, as I recall. But.
But
his point was that nothing was going to be done with them anyway for another, he said, 3 to 5 years. And that they would come out in that time frame. But since that time, obviously, I've heard now from the plan of this group is that they're going to come out as part of the initial part of redoing the medians. And that's what we're opposed to. There isn't really any damage right now. We understand that maybe we're wrong, that in 3 to 5 years there will be damage, but there isn't at this point, and the risk, therefore, of letting them stay to maintain our privacy, we would prefer anyway. So,
well, let's have a conversation about it. That's what we're looking for right now. Okay?
Sounds good to me.
Great.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, that's the end of our questions. I'd like to thank everyone for attending our meeting. Please visit our website, seascapecsa3.com. We'll have continuing updates of all this information. There will be a recording of the meeting today will be on the website. And again, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, very much.
Yeah, let me add one thing, Chris. Those who were wondering about the boundaries of CSA3. You have put that very prominently on the very first page of the website. And you can see the area that's outlined and shaded. And there's a nice introduction about the history. And please look at the plan and please vote yes.
Thanks
again, everybody, and please vote yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.